interviewing Shirley Levine, February 22nd, 1985.
I was telling about my flying to New York at a tender age, and I was supposed to have gone on the train, and my Aunt Rose, who lived in New York at the time, was expecting me to come by train, but this friend of the family's was flying, and he asked me, I was a great favorite of his, and he asked me if I wouldn't like to fly with him, and I said, sure, you know, why not? And I was amazed that my mother let me go because, you know, she was so protective. And so I went, and I thought it was just marvelous. And this friend, when he came back, told my folks that it was the roughest trip he had ever taken. Everybody was sick. I didn't even realize that anybody was sick. I just thought, I was so excited. And then I got to my aunt's apartment, and there was nobody home because she wasn't expecting me till the next morning. But that it was okay. You know, I don't remember what I did then. But somebody must have, maybe the maid was there. I don't know. That part was all right. But let's see, how many years ago is that?
What was the year of your birth, please?
1917.
Okay, 12.
1929.
Okay, we'll pick up right there next time.
Shirley, last time when we spoke with you, Joan and I, you were telling us about a convention in Los Angeles, and unfortunately the tape recorder was off, and we weren't able to record that. I wonder if you'd mind repeating about the, I believe it was an NCJW convention?
Oh yes, it was my first national convention. And I'm not sure, I believe that it was when Martha Rothman was president, because I have a vague recollection of her being an absolute shepherdess to all of us and keeping us on time to everything and making sure that we attended everything. She was like a, you should excuse the expression, the Mother Superior. But we had a simply wonderful time. Golly, I'm just thinking now of the women who were there who are gone. Mm-hmm. Minnie Sussman and Florence Goldsmith and some of the old timers.
Where was this again?
In Los Angeles. And I think we were talking about this in relation to my movie family, my Warner connections. And I asked our women, our delegation, if they would be interested. I guess we did have some time off at that convention. We don't usually have very much. If they would like to visit the studio. And well, of course, they were very eager. And I did arrange to take them all. And we went to not the cafeteria, but the place, the green room, which was the, you know, where all the stars ate. And don't ask me who, you know, what stars were there, but there were some. And our women never forgot it. And Phyllis Davis, who was president of the Greensburg section, which is no longer existent, she belongs to the Pittsburgh section now. But she was the president of the Greensburg section, and of course, being a small section, they only had one delegate. So she was under our wing, and. Every time I see her, which isn't terribly often, she never fails to remind me about the trip to the studio, and that was fun.
So even way back then, you were doing things for others.
Yeah, when I was looking I found something in here about that convention. I think
surely that was nice of you to assemble all these. Pictures and press releases and old invitations that look like for us. That's great.
I'm missing an awful lot of them, mm-hmm. which kind of breaks my heart.
Years.
But
we know that you're a saver.
Yeah. Yes, I am. And some of the things I can't find.
But in that packet, there is a picture or something? Is that what you're looking for?
No, I was looking, I was trying to remember when that, well, if it was in Martha Rothman's presidency, we can figure out the date. It was long before, I don't even know how I got to be, I guess I was a vice president. I was a vice president of membership.
I'd like to talk, last time we brought you up to your Pittsburgh connection. I think we brought you from Cleveland to Pittsburgh with your marriage to Jimmy. And could you just continue on along that? You and Jimmy set up the housekeeping, I assume.
Yes, we did. And we had a very major interruption when we'd been married only 3 months. That was I came to Pittsburgh in the fall in September of 1953. And Jim and I were in a dreadful automobile accident, New Year's Eve, just 3 months later. And the next 2 years were just 2 years out of my life. I was nearly killed in the accident, was in and out of hospitals with all kinds of broken bones.
Where was that?
We were on our way to Erie to spend New Year's Eve with Jim's sister and her family. And the children were going to meet us there. They had spent Christmas with their father in Cleveland. And I don't know whether I said that Jimmy married three of us. He married. I don't remember that from last week. But Jim is my second marriage, and my son David was 12, and Diane was almost six when we were married. And they have maintained, and to this day, maintain very good relations with their father. And they had been visiting him in Cleveland, and they were taking, there were trains in those days from Cleveland to Erie, and we were going to meet them and then drive them, spend New Year's Eve there and come home. Well, I was the lady who came to dinner, they were the kids that came to dinner, because they, the accident was on the way to Erie, and subsequently I was moved to Erie to a hospital there and was there for 5 months. Mm-hmm. And the children stayed with my sister-in-law, who was something of a saint. Mm-hmm. She had two of her own. They were within the same age group, so that made it nice. And that was New Year's Eve. I didn't get home until almost summer, and was laid up for a long time after that. So my community involvement, needless to say, didn't begin right away. But I must say that I'm an absolute newcomer to Pittsburgh. And Jim, thank goodness that Jim was not. He was born and raised here. And his friends were just so wonderful to me. And really were so supportive and were nice to my kids, and I've never forgotten what a warm feeling it was. So here I was, a virtual stranger, mm-hmm. and just people did put themselves out. So, and I think this is very typical of Pittsburgh. But I was grateful that I had married a native, so that there was there.
What kind of care did you receive in Erie? Do you think it's a smaller community than?
Well, don't forget, this is over 30 years ago, mm-hmm. and they didn't have, they were just beginning to utilize some new procedures in setting multiple fractures, etc., and they weren't prepared to do it there. And what they did well, but it didn't work. Everything had to be done mm-hmm. over again. And I subsequently went to Cleveland for surgery there. Mm-hmm. And my parents and of course the children's father. Assumed some responsibility for them, but my folks were very, very supportive and spent a lot of time with them and with the children too. And Jimmy was hurt badly, but not He wasn't nearly killed. And he got out of the hospital much sooner than I. And so much of the responsibility for the family fell on the shoulders of a man 36 years old who had never been married, and all of a sudden had full
Jimmy bought the money. Okay, do you want to get it? That's okay, leave the cup.
Just let it go? Sure. Okay. Jimmy!
Get your question.
Oh, where were the children after you came back to Pittsburgh?
Well, I came back before the school year ended, and they remained in Erie to finish the school year. And it was not a very long period. It was just a few weeks, and it was just as well because it gave me a chance to get adjusted to. I was bedridden, and there were all kinds of arrangements that had to be made to take care of me, mm-hmm. And so everything was set up before the children came home. And then in the summer, David went off to camp. He was gone for the summer, and Diane went to day camp, Deer Creek. And
a lot of that.
And taught me all the songs that they sang on the bus when she came home. Again, you know, it was really a full year with trips to the hospital in Cleveland, and then finally, when I was able, you know, when I was put back together again, therapy for months and months. You know, my doctor used to say, you know, you can't fight a fire one day a week, and I went for physical therapy 5 days a week and worked on the weekends.
Where did you go for that?
Dr. Murray Furtiver.
Oh, I see.
Was the physical medicine man who took care of me. And I really, the fact that I'm walking around and as active as I am, you know, the orthopedic man did a wonderful job of putting Humpty Dumpty together again, but it doesn't end there, and the fact that I'm able to walk as well as I do is I attribute to him. He was our very dear friend, and he was just marvelous to me.
You know, today physical therapy, of course, is a big field, and I guess at that time
it was pretty small. You know, I mean, it was not terribly mm-hmm. well known, and the orthopedic men were not as cognizant of its importance. You know, they would say after your bones mended, go home and exercise. But the exercises really have to be very specific, and they need to be supervised. And
did you use any machines or anything?
Some, yeah, but it was I don't remember that too clearly about machines. No, I think it was someone actually working with mine and helping me to walk and exercises that I could do myself at home. But I went daily, and it was, we used to call it the fracture factory. And there was a big room where all the, you know, the amputees and all his patients. It was like a big gymnasium almost, with equipment all around for all of us to use. And that was a very therapeutic experience, because you looked around, and maybe as bad as it was for you, you saw so many people that you wouldn't want to change places with. And it also provided a certain amount of competition. We all wanted to, everybody wanted to be, you know, the best. And we all worked very hard, and it was a real cross section of people. That was quite an educational experience.
Where was
altogether.
The Maplin?
It was on Fifth Avenue, near Negley, not far from Negley, right on the big old house on Fifth Avenue.
I took you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had a regular cab driver who used to take me, and he became one of my best friends, Ray, somebody. Mm-hmm. From people's case.
He must have been off that day when I took
days. Well, that's interesting, because today that's such an accepted form of exercise and therapy.
Well,
so it's definitely, and here you
well,
are
I was
a pioneer again.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that in cases as severe as mine, I think that it was accepted. But now the doctors understand that it's necessary for even minor things like sprains and, you know, all this athletic exercise for preparation for athletics. You don't just go out and do something anymore, and you prepare your body.
Did you continue on in some field of athletics?
Not athletics exactly. I mean, the thing that I was supposed to do, was to walk. Was very important, and so I started to play golf again, and I played at Chinle, and made lots of new friends there. And when the first time I played, I played two holes, because that was as far as I could walk. But by the end of that summer, I was...
Well, you played during that summer?
Well, not the first summer, the second summer.
Yeah.
Or whenever it was, I think that's when I started, because it was 2 years, really, until I was really ready. And by the end of the summer, I was playing nine holes and pulling my little cart, sometimes using a caddy, though. There were caddies then.
Describe Chinle. I think I didn't know it back then. What was it like, and what is it?
It was not a great deal different than it is now. It's just expanded then, and they have now have the nice senior citizens center there, and the men congregate, and they really use it as a clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
There was a very active women's group. I'm not sure that I guess it's still going. I used to play. I joined the Women's Golf Association there and played in the tournaments. I don't do that anymore. I play golf, but not. I don't take it that seriously anymore. I really play to walk, because I will all my life have to be on an active exercise program, and I walk and swim. And well, one nice thing was that was recommended was dancing, ballroom dancing. As being good exercise. And I remember the first time that I danced with Jimmy after this, I think I had a brace on one leg. And it was easier to dance than to walk, which was very strange. I mean, you know, it just, but I guess Dr. Vertebra knew that. That must have been why he recommended it.
Probably you were hanging on to it.
Yeah, oh sure, I had somebody to hang on to.
I imagine you continued that all through your life.
Yeah, we don't dance very much anymore, but I walk, and now I ride a stationary bicycle, because having a little problem with arthritic knees, and I can't walk as far as I used to, and it's just, it is very important for me to keep everything moving.
I know you did swimming too.
Yes. But the stationary bicycle, which is in the bedroom, is easier. I find that it takes, it's less time consuming, and I can do it at
Where
my leisure. At the Y, at the Jewish Community Center here in Oakland. Mm-hmm. And Jim, of course, uses that. We're all worried now about where he's going to swim.
Oh, yes. Is he a big swimmer?
Oh, yes. Yeah, he has maintained his swimming.
They claim that they're going to keep the Y club and facilities. So I hope you don't have to worry too long. Where did you live when you first came to Pittsburgh?
We looked all over. I thought that I wanted to live in Mount Lebanon, because I had heard that the schools were so good there. But within, I had sold my house in Cleveland, and that was the amount of money that we had to put into a house in Pittsburgh, and there was nothing in our price range that met our needs. We needed three bedrooms and two baths minimum, and there was nothing in Mount Lebanon at our price range. So we began to we looked in Squirrel Hill, and being a brand, this was before we were married even, you know, just prior, shortly before we we bought the house that we bought before we were married, and as a newcomer to Pittsburgh, the very old houses were I was not accustomed to them. I came from Shaker Heights, which was a relatively new suburb. I suppose an old house in Shaker Heights was 25 years old, and that's a new house in Pittsburgh. It was then, and I guess in many ways it still is. And and of course the prices were high then, just as they are proportionately they are now, and the tax is high. So gradually we began looking. We looked in Shadyside, and then we eventually wound up in the East End in the Highland Park area, and we lived at the top of Wellesley Avenue Hill. We found a house that was so similar to my house in Cleveland, and we bought there and lived there for 10 years, and then we built a house on Grafton Street. Also, just we used to walk to. We watched our house being built because it was so near where we lived before, and that was. We thought that was gonna be our last house, but it didn't work out that way. Just a few years ago, two and a half to be exact, we came to the conclusion that it would be a good idea for us to get into an apartment. And Jim had had open heart surgery, and I'd had a few other bouts with serious illness, and we just wanted to. We didn't want the responsibility of the house and the snow shoveling and the outside anymore. And we found this wonderful little nest in the Park Plaza, and we really have not missed the house at all. We're delighted to be here. This wonderful area.
It is lovely. I wanted to know a little bit about your life in East End at that time. What exactly? Now, of course, the first 2 years
in the very beginning, I know everything was.
Right.
And
has your health improved? Where did the children go to school? What was your routine like? What did you do?
The children went to. They're at the
Fulton
elementary school. Fulton School.
Fulton.
Thank you.
Okay.
They both went to Fulton, and Diane went to Falk School from the fifth through the eighth grade. Both children went to Peabody High School.
Could you describe what Falk School is?
Oh, Falk School, which is still going strong, is the experimental school for the University of Pittsburgh. Is it Department of Education or School of Education? I don't know. And it was primarily intended for children of people connected with the university, but it's obviously open to the community, and it's a private school I think it was a fine experience for Diane, who was an excellent student, and I think that she got the kind of stimulation she needed. Fulton School was a good school. And I really, I didn't take her out of there for any because I was dissatisfied. She was so bright, and we just were looking for to give her the best that we could give her. And I think we have never regretted. And
did a lot of people do that from her class? A lot of them leave and go to
at Fulton?
Time.
I don't think so. Not at that time. No, there was no, there was at that time there was no talk about integration and busing.
Yeah, I was
going to
ask you what
East
End was like then. Was it mostly Jewish?
No, Fulton School was quite mixed, but my own consciousness was not. raised at that point, and I really couldn't tell you whether there might have been a couple of black children there, but I'm sure there weren't very many.
No, I don't think so.
And but the ratio of Jews to Christians, I'm guessing that it would be 50-50. Peabody was about one third black, one third Italian, and one third Jewish. And of course, it wasn't just all Italian either. But there was a big Italian ethnic population, and maybe that's not quite a fair assessment, but it was because it wasn't all white ethnic. It was, you know, there were other just not you know, Gentile, but it was about a third Jewish, and I felt again that was a very good experience for both the kids. I think that they certainly learned that there were other people in the world, and it served them in good stead. And they both, you know, they both have a feeling for the need to have acquaintances and friends in from all walks. And
so there were no direct experiences. In other words, you had no problem moving into your neighborhood when you moved, as far as neighbors go, and they had no experiences with school that would be anti-Semitic or
not that I know of. Actually, in the house on Wellesley Avenue, there were very few Jewish families in that area. And our next door neighbors, our immediate next door neighbors, were an older couple they're both gone now. I think we were the first Jewish people they ever knew. And they weren't anti-Semitic, certainly, I mean, even in the beginning, but they were a little bit cautious. They just didn't quite know what to expect, and we became very, very good friends. And I'm sure they thought that we were different. We tried to persuade them that we really weren't, and but we had a wonderful relationship with them. And there were the mix on that whole that area is called affectionately by the people who live there, the Circle, because Wellesley Road crosses Wellesley Avenue at the very top of the hill, and it makes a circle. It's one block, Wellesley Road, but it goes in a semicircle anyhow, and it started just below our house, and then it ended about two or three houses. I think there were beside our house, we were a corner. There was a house in the middle, and then there was another corner house. And Wellesley Road circled around that whole area, and it was a very I loved that neighborhood. And it was not dissimilar then to Grafton Street when we built the new house, because that was not a real through street either, and there was a wonderful sense of neighborhood. You know, we lived in the East End for almost 30 years, and that park, the Highland Park area, was integrated, and there was just a great cross section. And in the little neighborhood enclaves, I think I never heard of any kind of problem. Mm-hmm. We had on Sheridan Avenue. It was the end of Sheridan Avenue that ended at the park, and we had a 4th of July celebration that was a community, you know, just for the people on that block. And anybody whom they might invite. Now we lived on Grafton, but we were right we faced that the end of Sheridan Avenue, of that block. So we were always included in the 4th of July.
Is that every year?
Every year. I don't know how many years that goes back. At least, oh golly, must be 15 years anyhow. And when we moved away, they gave us a certificate of honorary membership in the I think it's the 1300 block of Sheridan Avenue, with all the rights and privileges and none of the responsibilities.